stewardship. It's about maximizing your money. It's about maximizing your resources. That's what it's about. Organization, all that is stuff. It improves the quality of your life. It improves your productivity. If I can sell you on that, then you'll make changes. If I don't sell you on that, then you're gonna go, you're gonna do what you gotta do short term. You will not make a long-term commitment to it. And as a result, you'll be less productive. That's not what I want to see. I know these principles work. I've been functioning like this for years. And just like I've improved my ability to manage many projects and stay on top of them, you can do the same thing and do it with ease. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's the only reason I told you, hey, look at all these things I'm doing and look how I get them done. So, you know, you don't have half as many projects that I have. So if you apply these principles and with what you do, you're going to be amazed at what happens. You will be utterly amazed. I've been doing this for years because I was trained to do this when I was in industry. I was trained to think like this, to function like this, and I just carried it right over out of the corporate world into the business world. I was trained to do it like this. So that's my whole thing today, that the motivation will be that if you're going to profit from it long term. And you'll have so much creativity that you just, my God, you know, a lot of you don't have time, creative time, because, you know, you're just trying to put out fires. You get organized, you'll be amazed. Everybody say, well, how you come up with this and how you come up with that? And all you do, hey, because I got a process that I do and it just works. Okay, so hope I have your attention so that you'll fight back. You know, the dinner that you just had, stealing the oxygen from your brain, bringing it down into your stomach, causing you to feel sleepy. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. All right. So time management recognizes the value of time being essential to my success. Wasted time is never regained. I used to do an illustration. Maybe some of y'all remember the illustration I used to do when I talk about wasted time regained, and I'd have a shredder and I'd shred money. How many remember that illustration I did years ago? Okay, good. I ain't shredding no more money. I just talk about the illustration now. Time is money because it takes time to create wealth. So you have to decide, what is a minute of your time worth? What is a minute of your time worth? What is a minute of your time worth? So you do that by figuring out basically how much would your salary equate to an hour divided by 60, and that's how much your minute is worth. And when a person wants to talk to you, then you know that you have to decide whether or not can they really afford you. You got it? When I began to look at my time as money, then you know, when you steal 5 minutes from me, what have you really stolen from me? You've stolen some money from me. So now I value that to the point I'm not going to let you steal my time, because I see my time is money, right? So you need to find that, figure out. You don't need to tell anybody, because then they'll figure out how much you're making. If I'm, you tell them, you know, my time is worth this for a minute, and they're just going to calculate it, and then they're going to know your salary. All right. So once you do this, then you will begin to look at it differently. Give my next slide, my next frame, please. You begin to look at your time differently. You begin to value your time. Task and completion has really a ripple effect. When I began to manage my time, I'm going to be able to complete just like I used to have things undone, a lot of things undone. I'm going to start seeing how much more I can accomplish. My day will seem to be extended. I will eliminate deadline stress factors. You got it? I won't miss opportunities, have those oops situations. And I will have a balanced life. So those are the key things of I must look at the impact of time management, that it's going to have a positive effect on me all around. Have a positive all-around effect. So, do you have a time management problem? Do you have a time management problem? Do I need to go through this? I don't think I need to go through this. Do you find yourself doing important tasks in a rush? crisis environment on a regular basis? Do you dread going to work because of the mountain of work that you face? Do you miss important meetings and appointments? Does your supervisor often remind you of upcoming debt? Does your pastor remind you of upcoming deadlines, which you repeatedly miss? Does your employer have full confidence that you can be assigned a task, follow the calendar, follow through to the completion without his constant oversight? Do you forget to return phone calls after you promised the caller you would do so? Have you had to do something over because you couldn't find the original? Amen. Or you forgot to find the last original that you made the change to. Hallelujah. Do you spend minutes, hours looking for a piece of paper you need in a hurry only to find it hidden in a pile of unrelated papers? Do you spend evenings and weekends working at home after hours because of distractions? Are you frustrated with your inability to communicate to executive management the need for more staff because of lack of documentation? All of these are time management related situations. So let's look now at the possibility of change taking place. You got to establish a good why. And the why is that good time management equals good stewardship. God requires that of us. Time management is money. Time mismanagement is money mismanagement. So if you are mismanaging your time, you are mismanaging your money. And remember, stewardship, good stewardship gets rewarded. That's the key. And that's the spiritual component of it. Once God sees he can trust me, he's going to give me more of it. The stress of time management is unhealthy. And that is what I am concerned most about when I see people always working in a crisis situation. I'm really concerned about it because I know your people can't work in a crisis situation long term without it affecting them. And it's your responsibility as a manager, if there is a mismanagement of time and people are not doing what they need to do, make sure my is off since lunch. My phone is off. Solid's fine. If there's this mismanagement of time and people are not being properly managed because we're not properly managing tasks, then long term it's going to have a very negative effect on them. It's your responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen to your people by making sure time is managed properly. And if there's a need for either rescheduling or a need for more people, that can be justifiably documented. All right. Are you missing out on meaningful things in life just because you're not managing your time? So you got to establish a real why. Once you've established a good reason for it, you'll stick to it. You'll do what's necessary in order to accomplish managing your time better. That's the key. All right. Now, let's look at go to the next slide. Five things essential to take control of time. Properly planning the projects. Most of us have done what we are doing for a good period of time, whereby you can know when we want to do something about how long it's going to take you to get it done. For instance, Eric, if I ask you, how long is it going to take you to do a 30-second commercial from start to finish, how long is it going to take you? Okay, but you do have a range. You understand a range of what it's going to take. My point is, we've done what we're doing so long that pretty much we can look at it and, based on how we've done it before, come up with a pretty good understanding of how much time we're going to have to commit to it. You follow me? And it is that knowledge that is critical when we begin to plan. If we're going to print a newspaper, I know what it's going to take. I know the procedure is going to go through. I know how many days that thing ought to take for us to get done. Got it? I understand that because we've done it enough. So that's valuable, your prior knowledge. All right? Purpose, yeah. Now, what that has to do with, okay, y'all laughing at me. Y'all laughing. That's all right. That's all right. What that has to do with is being able to distinguish what is, now this goes outside of just the workplace, but what is my purpose? What is related to my purpose and what's not? Because something that's not purpose related is maybe something I can eliminate. You got it? Something I may need to postpone. All right, for instance, my wife did something so beautiful for me the other day. I was in this place and I was looking at this automatic chessboard. She saw I wanted it. It was all in my eyes. But I already know how chess does me. I don't have time for chess right now. You got it? And so I got the money to buy it, but I didn't buy it. Guess what? It showed up at the house. Got it? It showed up. But I haven't opened the box because I understand what happens if I open that box. You got it? And right now I can't. Probably around June, July, I'll be able to open that box and I'll have fun with it. But see, I know I can't open the box, and it's just like it was. Got it? She haven't bothered me because she know how I am. She know it's obvious that, hey, he can't get to it now. So it's still in the box. I go in and look at it, and I'm telling it, one day, I'm going to get to you. But I'm just that disciplined. I'm not going to do it. You follow me? Because right now, it would pull me away from purpose. And that's going to cost me time-wise. All right? All right? People on your team. It's essential to know that you got people on your team who can follow through with what you tell them to do. You got it? And that they are focused. Plotting your schedule, protecting your schedule, both of those are critical. That is, once I make a schedule, I got to protect it. Because if I don't protect it, it ain't going to happen. You follow me? You have to protect it from others and from yourself. Got it? That's where the discipline comes in. I know if I open that box, that's going to cost me, initially that time when I open the box, it'll cost me 3 hours. But this is going to cost me more than that down the line because I want to master it. Whatever I do, I got to master it, you see. So ain't no sense in me bothering the box. And listen to me, it's in me open. I ain't going to open that box. It's still sitting there. You got it? Because it'll pull me away from purpose. At the same time, there are other other things, not like that, but people always trying to get me to do one thing, get me to do another. I can't do it simply because I have to manage my time because that's where quality of life comes in. So now let's go to the principle, time management, the principle. And we see the principle all in the Bible. Moses used the principle of delegation in order to manage his time. He was doing everything himself. His father-in-law comes to him and says, hey, man, what are you doing? You're going to wear yourself out. And he took that advice. Jesus organized. You can see Jesus always using the principle of organization. And, of course, Paul again. All throughout the Bible, we see these instances in the Bible where men of God, though they were highly spiritual, use practical principles for managing their times. Now let's go to the time thieves because we need to identify them. And they are distractions, interruptions, disorganization, and put a line under that one because that's one that you've got to control right away. And improper delegation of tasks. Those are four things that can disrupt your plan. You can have a commitment to do it, but if you cannot identify those distractions, and it's not always like this. This is a person that you got to know yourself. I know some things that I cannot get involved in because I know what it'll do to me. You got it? My wife bought these. She wanted the kids to have game to have these video games. Got it? That's dangerous for me. That's dangerous. Video games is dangerous for me because I love them. You got it? And but I have to put some discipline. That can be a major distraction to me. My point is you have to know what it is with you so that you don't let it steal time from you. You got it? Now, we're not talking about quality of life issues for you. Something that may be quality of life for you, you follow me, may not be a distraction. It's a quality of life issue. You have to decide on those things. But distractions, interruptions, disorganization, and improper delegation of tasks. Delegating it to somebody improperly by not fully delegating to them, letting them have it. You got it? Because many times you're delegating and you go do it. And if you continue to do that, you've not delegated the task. That person's not going to learn. So you have to learn to delegate the task, take your hands off of it, understanding that the person might fail, but you monitor it so that they don't fall too hard and you can't recover. But proper delegation, those are things that if not done properly, it will steal your time. Delegation. Let me just stay on that just a little bit. Giving clear instructions and expectations and establishing expectations when you delegate. Otherwise, you get real frustrated. More than on one occasion, I have talked with managers who've delegated tasks to others. The person didn't do it right. The manager felt justified in shifting the blame for their not producing, not being productive, by pointing the finger and said, this person didn't do it. Delegation doesn't abdicate your responsibility. That's the key you have to understand. I still hold you responsible. It's your area. I hold you responsible. And we had a situation, and boy, things weren't going right in a certain area. And all the person could do was try to point out to me all of the deficiencies in their staff, why their staff wasn't producing. And I said, all that's good and well, but I hold you responsible. You're the person that's supposed to make sure that it gets out. If you don't have the right staff, then you need to either get some more staff, get rid of the staff you got, get you some more staff. I'll hold you responsible. And if you can't do the job, I'll get somebody who can. They got offended when I made the statement, but that's the truth. That's a real world issue. If you can't do the job, I've given you the resources to do the job with. I've told you if you don't have the people, go get the people. And you still want to justify lack of productivity because of factors under your control, long term, that's not going to be tolerated. Got it? Praise the Lord, they got to act together after they got offended. But the bottom line was, you know, you're still held responsible. And so that's critical. When you're delegating, make sure you're giving the person the right instructions. And we found out that was one of the problems. Wasn't the people. It was their lack of giving clear instructions and communicating with the people along the way. Okay, now, let's go to my next one. Scheduling ongoing tasks in concert with purpose. And that is thorough and complete task listing. In other words, the more thorough you are in your planning, the more control you have. Now, on purpose, I'm being redundant in some of this so that if you didn't get it the first time before lunch, you get it now. All right? Prioritize your task, evaluate your time requirements, allocate tasks according to time, delegate where possible, execute your plan, eliminate the completed plans, reward yourself for a job well done. Now, let's go to the practice. All right. Okay. Oh, look what came up on the screen. Time management practice. Clean up your work area. Isn't that amazing? I think Deslin put that one in there. Clear your desk. Establish a master task list. Establish an important document file. That is, when you first get ready to do it, this is how I do it. I just get one file. I don't have to sort out all of my documents at first, but I just get one file of everything that I think is important, or stack. I put all the important stuff in one stack. I go through it and I discard all unneeded paper. Some things are maybe, you know, maybe you might need to shred, some things you might not, but this is what I do. Clear the inside of your desk. This is traumatizing because 80% of the stuff you have can be discarded. Now, this is something I think you have to do like on maybe every 6 months on this desk thing, you know. Go back, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. And that's, it's traumatizing to clear out your debts. That's traumatizing. Every time I do it, I do it. It's traumatizing to me. Because I always believe I'm going to need something. Now, I haven't needed anything I've ever thrown away, but I believe one of the days I'm going to need some of it. I've never needed anything I've thrown away. Because I normally do it like every 6 months. 6 months it's going to clean it out, but it's traumatizing. Got it? So I'm just kind of preparing you, because when you get ready to throw some away, you're going to say, I know I'm going to need this. No, you're not going to need it. You got it? You're not going to need it. Okay, let's move. Let's move on. Okay, clean your work area. Clean out your briefcase. Organize your files. Group like things. Alphabetize and label. Okay, this is practically how you do it. This is just brass tacks on getting it done. All right? Time management to practice. All right? So here's what we're going to clean up our work area. We're going to manage our master list. We're going to use a daily planner of some sort. Using it is the key. And then establish a calendar for your events. Everybody say calendar, please. Calendar. All right? The calendar is critical because this will help you put long-range tasks in perspective when you calibrate them. When you put a calendar together of how you plan to do it. Now, every year, of course, y'all probably got my calendar. How many don't have Pastor's calendar? Who need my calendar? Okay, you don't have one, you need a calendar, okay? But things don't just happen, they must be planned. And so I calendar, you know, where I'm going to go. I calendar my vacation. I calendar everything. That's my master calendar. And then within that master calendar, there are events that have to be calendared. We've got two projects right now on the plate that are very important. One is the Covenant Partner thing. And the Vision Builders whole campaign is calendared out. And everybody gets a calendar who has something to do with it. Eric's got a calendar of the videos that he needs to produce, a calendar of the taping times we need. All of that is done with meticulous, you know, detail and planning. Because if it's going to come off the way we want it to come off, we just can't up one day and decide. We've decided ahead of time. And always when I calendar, build in time to revise, catch up. You know, I always build in me a couple of days whenever I calendar. So I don't calendar something to the point that I can't recover from something unexpected happening. But being able to calendar what you need to do is going to take a lot of stress out of your life. It'll take a lot of stress out of your life. Certain things that we do all the time. We do some things like all the time. In the special projects department, y'all gonna have Bridget's Just Us Girls thing every third Saturday. You're gonna have my men's breakfast every second Saturday. Those are all the time things. We're gonna have church development conference in October. You got it? Ain't no surprise to anybody. You got it. Everybody already know what's going to happen. All right? Now, don't try to use your calendar to get around work. And that is trying to schedule vacations on time of peak work. Praise the Lord. Amen? Oh, I know you wouldn't do that. But I thought I'd throw that in. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in. Because, see, you know, normally when that comes up, the reason we catch it is because we got a calendar too. Amen. So, transfer master your master list items to your planner. That word is again? Prioritize your day. Evaluate requirements. I use an A, B, and C for as priorities. I have my A's I must do. B's are those that I'd like to get to. C's are things that I definitely don't have to get to. Allocate time for A's on a daily basis. That's what I told you about that before. When I make my priorities, I understand this is how much time this is going to take me. This is how much time this is going to take me. And it takes the stress out of it. Number 10, delegate tasks where possible and set up follow-up date. And this is where I get most of y'all I work with. Because when I delegate it, I write a date down, I'm going to call you back. So you wondering, well, how could he remember to call me back on that date? Because when I told you to do it, I already put a date that I was going to get back with you on. And when that date came back up on my calendar, damn, I give you a call. Well, what's going on with this? And, you know, and you go, oh, well, see, I wrote mine down, but you didn't write yours down. And so that's how I'm able to follow up on y'all all the time, is because I didn't keep this in my mind. I have it on the paper, and I wrote my follow-up date down the day I talked to you. Got it? So I can stay up on, I can stay on top of the projects because I didn't have to think about your project every day. I'm only thinking about your project the day, the date that your project came up on my follow-up date. You with me? So you can do the same thing with staff and the people you have to deal with. The key when you're dealing with people, you have to get dates from them. Person, I'll call you back. When? What time? That is the key to gaining control of time, is getting a date when that person is going to get back with you. That is critical. That is critical. Now, I would appreciate if we agree on a date that you're going to get back with me on something and something changes, I would appreciate a call because I think that's the respectable thing to do. Y'all missed a good point to clap right there. You could have got your brownie point. And see, if you just look straight, nobody know I'm talking to you. Okay. No, but that's the only thing. That is, when you guilty flee, when no man pursues. But more than one person in the house. But that's critical with me. Because it shows me at least you were conscious of what was supposed to be done. But when I give you a task, we agree on a follow-up date, and I never hear from you. I mean, that to me is just, that's just highly disrespectful. That's just, oh, I just feel so disrespected. I'm serious. I just feel so disrespected. I get all bent out of shape on that. How could you disrespect me like that? Oh, my God. Oh, I'm not being dramatic, but that traumatizes me. That traumatizes me. Amen. All right. So let's not traumatize Pastor or any other. If we write it down, it's not a pressure moment. Because when it comes up and you haven't done what you needed to do, you pick up the phone, Pastor, I'm working on it, da-da-da-da-da-da, I need more time. That'd be great. That's fine. And most of the time, I let people give me, I say, how much time is this going to take you? Now, don't hurt yourself by giving an unrealistic timetable. Don't hurt yourself. And on more than one occasion, that's happened. And I tell people, you know, and in one case, I said, don't even try to, you cannot do it in that time frame. But don't hurt yourself. If you give me a time that's too far off, then I'll ask you, okay, can we do it, sooner? But give yourself some time. When I ask you something, give yourself time. That's okay. I know you want to please me. I know you want to do it quickly. But many times, if you do that, that means all of the other things you had scheduled to do, they're going to go lacking. Because you set an unrealistic timetable. And then here's another thing. If you set an unrealistic timetable and you see it, don't play it out. That's the time to get right back on the phone and say, hey, Pastor, you know, I said I was going to have this, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And not only with me, but with anybody else. Then it's at that time we renegotiate. And I think it was the case with Eric the other day. We tried to renegotiate. I said, no, we can't renegotiate that, Eric. I got to have that. I got to have that. And so you got to do what you got to do. He said, okay, Pastor, I'll do what I got to do. But he gave me a time frame because I think one of your guys gave you an unrealistic time. Yeah, he gave you something that wasn't realistic. And based on that, he gave it to me. I planned everything around that time. So I had a whole lot of balls already rolling. And he called and said, hey, I need to renegotiate some time here. And I go, too late. We got to get it done. And, you know, he made it happen. But I want you to understand process. Because then it takes pressure off of you. You follow me? It takes pressure. It's okay if you've made an unrealistic projection. Instead of living that out and traumatizing yourself, it's best to pick up the phone and say, hey, look, I need more time on. And if we can negotiate more time, we can. If we can't, then I say, okay, hey, how else can I help you? And the people I've worked with before, I work on an ongoing basis. That's one of my statements. How can I help you? Because if I can help, then we'll do it that way. So we don't have to work under an unnecessary crisis pressure environment. I appreciate, and I'll say this again, I do appreciate y'all wanting to do it quick, fast, and in a hurry. But I may not always need it quick, fast, and in a hurry. If you've done the rest of the things, knowing what you got on your plate, knowing the time frame you have, then you can come up and say, okay, here's how much time I need. Or it may be better if you can't give me a time right then for you to say, okay, Pastor, let me call you back in an hour and give you a time frame. We're talking about managing what you're doing. If you don't do it impromptu, many times you won't create more pressure for yourself. And many times it's not really necessary. I think me and Destin had a situation the other day. She said, I'll get back with you in 15 minutes. How long was it when you called me back?
You had to call me back.
Yeah, I called you back in how many hours?
Huh?
Oh, it was a long one, hour and a half. You stayed up all night, so I cut you a slack. But several hours later, I called. Destin, you told me 15 minutes. Oh, yeah, Pastor. Blah, 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 blah. I said, but you told me 15 minutes. I went through one of my trauma things because you promised me 15 minutes. And I was waiting to make decisions on this. I got some calls I got to make based on this information. And I said, Destin, you could at least pick the phone up and call me. I know she meant well. Huh? I've been picking on Eric. I got to get off of Eric. I got to get off of Eric and get on somebody else. Doris is happy because I'm not. Yeah, Doris is just a lady that I'm talking to. You and not her.
Maybe you should do something for Daryl because he never.
Pick on Daryl? He's longing for some rebuke. He wants some rebuke so bad. Okay. Now, but that's the thing I'm saying. And I see him. I think I've had a situation with Morris, too. Morris, oh, he's going to get me. He's going to get me. And that was the whole point. I said, Morris, you just should have called me. I'm sorry, Pastor. I knew he was working. I knew he wasn't sitting there filing his nails. I know he's got his plate full. You got it? But the whole point is, if we communicate more, there needs to be no stress. Only when I got to have something that's critical, I'll let you know this is critical. You got it? And I see that. I see y'all pushing yourselves. And many times, it's just not necessary for you to create that kind of stress for you. Because I understand, everybody in the room got their hands full. You follow me? Everybody's got their hands. Nobody's filing their nails during the week. You got it? And talking on the phone and just having a good time, you know. Drinking tea and then you're having a good time here. Okay. Number 11, execute your plan. Execute daily, your daily plan of action. Manage your progress. Reward yourself for being a good steward. And don't be a time thief to others. Yeah, you hear that? Once you get your act together and you got everything smooth, don't go and be a distraction to other folks. And sit there and steal that time, won't talk to them, because you got yours together, all right? In fact, be a time helper, ask others how you can help them. And that's where that cross training comes in that Morris talked about. Morris, and once you get your act together, got everything together, come on by, he'll show you what to do in his area. Four sides, we're going to talk about problem solving now, because again, I have a process by which I approach all problem solving, and one part of that, I said, I think this is, okay, this is really 5 minute break time. Y'all need a break, do you? Y'all need a break, do you? Can y'all handle another 30 minutes on creative problem solving? Okay, great. Problem solving. Here's where thinking is critical. When you're going to solve a problem, thinking outside the box is real critical. Now, box thinking, what I like to call a box mindset, restricts your creativity. You have this fear of failure, fear of unseen resources, inferiority, and then you want to stay within a comfort zone. In order to be creative, stay on the cutting edge, solve problems creatively, those factors have got to be minimized. Those factors have got to be minimized. All right? Let's go to the next screen. Okay. Principles for creative thinking is the ability to believe that there is a better way of doing things. And no matter how well you have functioned in the past, you've got to maintain that there's a better way of doing things. The ability to focus with intensity without distraction. To solve problems, you need time for focus. And most of you are very good at solving problems. Most of you are really good at solving problems. The ability to connect knowledge through random access. In other words, taking a situation that's totally unrelated to the field that you're dealing with, seeing how a problem has been solved there using those principles in another situation. Ability to avoid attachment to personal ideas. In other words, you may have a personal idea that we may shoot down, but that's not, don't take it personal. You follow me? And that does happen. People, I mean, you think your idea is the greatest thing, and you can, hey, what about this? And I'll look at it, or Dr. B may look at it, or others may look at it and go, we'll do it. But you thought it was your best thing since white bread, you know, sliced bread. You thought that thing was great. But you can't be so, you can't be so married to it and take it so personal that if it's turned down at that time, that you say, I ain't gonna come up with nothing else. You cut your own creativity off that way. You follow me? And more than once, I think we've had ideas, we've had some brilliant ideas for my staff. I'm excited when y'all come up with ideas, because I would hate to limit everything we do to just me and Dr. B coming up with things. I love it when you come up with ideas, better way of doing things that you do, because I'm only one person. Principles of creative thinking, number 5, ability to relate past success tactics in unrelated areas, ability to systematically approach creative problem solving, and now go to the next screen. Here's how we solve a problem. 8 steps. Number 1, we define the problem, not the symptom. Go to the root of it. What is the problem? Number 2, determine the cause of the problem. Why has this problem surfaced? Why? Now, these are things I just do automatically because I'm so trained in them that it's just, you know, when I have a problem, I go through this process, you know, in my thinking real quick. Determine what the problem is. Why is the problem? And then list possible solutions to the problem. As a manager, as a leader, this, though, 1, 2, 3 is expected. That's expected of you. I do not expect you to just be a person who comes and reports problems. I expect when you come with a report on the problem that you have at least thought of some solutions. May not be the right one, but at least you got a list of possible solutions to the problem to give us something to work with. Because you are more focused on that area, on that problem, than anybody else is. You have more information than I have. So when you bring a problem to the table, I expect you to bring information about the problem as well. And then 4, research how others may have solved similar problems. And you can do that, of course, through reading, through asking other questions. That research part is helps you refine 3. Okay, let's go to 5. Decide on a plan of action, take action, monitor results, and as you monitor the results, you may refine your plan again. And then 8 is the critical one, install proactive measures to prevent the problem in the future. The problem is not solved, in my book, until 8 has been done, until we've installed something so that it should not occur again. If you can master that simple eight step, those simple eight steps at solving problems in a simple way. What is the problem? Clearly defined. Why did the problem come up? You got it? Why has the problem come up? What are some possible solutions? How have others solved the problem in the past? Then now, what's my plan of action? Based on the solutions that I have, based on what I have saw others come up with, now what solution best suits me at this time? Then take action. Let's implement it, monitor the results, and then let's make sure it did not happen again. Got it? So in a nutshell, that is basically what problem solving is all about, regardless. That's it. That's it. That's the way I solve all my problems. Okay, how big and how much money it is, that's the way I always go after. What is the problem? Why did it occur? The why is important for verse 8. For number 8. I think scripture, y'all. I think scripture. Number 8. If you adopt this, then I can solve several problems at the same time, because when I'm dealing with a problem, I'm in one of these several phases. You got it? Your enthusiasm overwhelms me. This is so good to me. This is really so good to me. Let's take a break. Yeah, we're going to take a 10-minute break at the most, and then we'll come back for our closing session. Isn't this good?
I was going to make a comment when you were talking about prioritizing time and making sure that we don't give unrealistic times to get back to you. I think that's one of the things that we can do a better job from manager to manager. I think that because we stay so focused on getting things done in our department, we put undue pressure on other departments that we work with, because we'll focus on getting our job done without talking to the other departments, and then it's a last-minute deal for the other department. Oh, I need this yesterday. And then one of the things you run up against that when you counter that with another department, well, I'm doing this for Pastor. Well, we all are doing it for Pastor. We all are doing it for Dr. Bridget, but I think we all can do a better job in managing our time and our interactions with the other departments as far as getting information to them.
I think that's very good. I think when you involve them early on in the planning process, that's the key. That when you know you have to do it, that's the time to involve the others. The better you plan, the better you're able to enlist and recruit the people, the partners who are going to help you in your plan. So I think all of it goes hand in hand, and communicating that in time, where the person doesn't have to be in a crisis mode so that you can meet your timetable. Excellent. That comes with, of course, that's going to be a whole nother lesson, no whole nother time. I think I'm going to do this maybe every quarter. Would y'all like to do this every quarter? Y'all like this? Y'all like this? Okay. All right. Y'all make me feel good when y'all clap. Clap again. Make me feel good. All right. Okay. Now, yeah, it's not going to be on Saturday. I'm not going to do it on a Saturday. I would rather do it on a work day because. But I think next time I'm going to give y'all lunch boxes. Boiled egg and some a cream cheese sandwich. Huh? Y'all want to pay for y'all food today? Okay. No, just joking. Y'all been real good. I haven't seen anybody sleep. So y'all can have lunch next time. If y'all was going to sleep on me, then y'all get a box lunch. Sandwich, boiled egg, and some celery. Okay, Ron, that was excellent. I hope everybody heard Ron, because I think that talking, interacting is critical. And, of course, we do know that the leverage word is, I'm doing this for Pastor. That's where you get that action. Yes, ma'am.
And I wanted to say that it's not fair to me and Pastor for you all to drop our names when you get in a crunch situation, because most of the time we've already planned stuff and we've told you ahead of time. So when you go and you say, well, I'm doing this for Pastor Dr. Bridget, then that's saying that Pastor Dr. Bridget didn't give it to me in the right amount of time. And most of the time we have given it to you in the right amount of time. You just didn't communicate it to the person in the right amount of time. So it makes it look bad on us, like we're not telling you, unless it's an emergency situation like a funeral or a hospital situation. Normally, we would have told you in enough time to plan. So
I see a hand back there, Sister Wassa.
Hold
on. The mic is coming.
What I have to say about that is that we shouldn't have to even drop your, you know, passing Dr. Bridget's name, because we should have that much respect for each other. So we, you know, we should just stop doing that.
I agree. Anybody else? Okay. We got about 7 minutes for a break. And then we'll come back with this last session on stewardship.